This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. I hope you weren't listening to that last insensitive conversation.
Boker Tov, I caught the back end of it, but I'm just choosing to continue onward without referring much to it. But there are two things that I wanted to talk about before we get into the meat of the stuff that we have to discuss today. Mm-hmm. There's this report coming out of Belgium about a legal case that is being brought against two moils in Belgium.
I don't know if it's me struggling to hear you or if it's going a little bit soft. If you can let us know, 061-895-1019. Anthony, carry on.
I was just saying that there is a case that's been brought, a legal case, against two moils in Belgium, and they are being charged with actual bodily harm with premeditation concerning the Brit Milah, or certain acts of the carrying out Brit Milah, which of course is a traditional religious ceremony. And this has caused much consternation within the Belgian Jewish community, and with many people saying, this is the time for Belgian Jews to get up and leave, if this is what the state is choosing to do, to charge people who are conducting centuries-old religious ceremonies, that this is a form of anti-Semitism. When we scratch below the surface a little bit, the irony is that the original complaint to the police was brought by a member of the Jewish community Belgium.
Oh, no.
And it seems as if there's some infighting going on about practices which are being used in the ceremony of the Brit Milah, the circumcision ceremony. And this has given a lot of fuel to a public outrage against Brit Milah for whatever reason. So all I would say is that, you know, when you see the headline saying Belgian community are getting up and saying it's time to leave, we need to just scratch a little bit deeper to find out what's going on there. It's a very, very bizarre situation, which is really not helpful to the Jewish community in Belgium at all, and not helpful to the Jewish community worldwide. This is really something which could potentially have been avoided. The other unrelated thing that I wanted to raise, there's an interesting article this morning about members of the local authorities in the north of Israel who have complained about the fact that they've been cut off. Their access has been cut off from a system which is called Shu'al. And this is a system which tracks missiles which are incoming into Israel and identifies where their landing point is expected to be. And once they do land, identifies where they've landed. And for, I hadn't realized that local authorities, so we're talking about civilian local authorities, we're not talking about military personnel here. Civilian local authorities have access to the system so they can send emergency teams out to the necessary locations very, very quickly, because they already have the tracking in real time of where missiles might fall or have fallen. It also helps to identify unexploded missiles that might have fallen and not exploded upon impact, but may still present a threat to people in the area. And their access was apparently cut off because the military, the Home Front Command, which is responsible for managing the system, had suspected and had been concerned about some sort of an infiltration into the system, potentially from Iran, with bad actors in Iran trying to gain access to this system. And so they effectively cut access off for almost everybody, including these local authorities. So there's been quite an uproar in the north, particularly with the local authorities saying that they are being forced to manage emergency situations like blind mice. That was the term that was used, without really having visibility of the system. It just all goes to show, first of all, how innovative Israelis in developing systems like this, where the country is effectively divided up into polygons. And every time a missile is fired, the relevant polygon where the missile is expected to fall is highlighted right away through Shu'al. So it's an incredible development. It also shows how these incredible developments can create risk that somebody else gains access to it. That's the last thing that you really want. And it shows also how we become so reliant upon these incredible developments. And then when all of a sudden access is removed, people feel like they're running around in the dark, that they have just not even the basic tools that they need in order to cope with the situation. So I think it shows Israel up in the most positive way, and yet it also highlights the type of risk that comes with it.
The Prime Minister has been in touch with U.S. presidents with the U.S. president concerning recent developments with regard to the war in Iran. What is the latest status?
So the latest status is that Project Freedom, which the U.S. initiated in order to try to relieve boats from the ships from the Straits of Hormuz, has been put on hold. There are papers that have said the reason that it's been put on hold is because Saudi Arabia has refused to allow U.S. military aircraft access to flying rights over Saudi Arabia. And therefore, that risks the U.S.'s ability to continue Project Freedom. Now, precisely why Saudi Arabia would wish to do this right now hasn't been made clear. And there's even not even speculation as to why Saudi Arabia would choose this route. I wonder whether the Saudis are not a little bit sore about the United Arab Emirates leaving OPEC and therefore impacting on Saudi Arabia's economy and their ability to produce oil and to take advantage. I just wonder, I don't know. It's just pure like throwing an idea into the wind, because I just couldn't think of any other reason why the Saudis would deny the U.S. overfly rights for their military aircraft in policing Project Freedom. But as things stand at the moment, Project Freedom is on hold. The Iranians yesterday announced that they're going to allow free passage through the Straits of Hormuz to try and ease the logjam. I've no idea whether that has actually happened or not, whether that's real, or, you know, when we get all of this information through social media with all these tweets coming out, very, very emotive language being used and very exaggerated language, one really doesn't know what to believe, what's really real and what's just there for the sake of, you know, the public show that's going on, because there is a huge public show through social media. We do understand, however, that there is supposedly a one-page memorandum that is currently being negotiated between Iran and the United States through the good offices of Pakistan, and that Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner from the U.S. are very involved. We also understand that on this one-page memorandum, there are 14 points that the U.S. has raised, including the possibility of Iran giving over, would you believe it's enriched uranium, to the United States, including ending the war, including allowing free passage of ships through the Straits of Hormuz and unblocking any access for ships, including freeing up Iranian assets that have been placed on the sanctions list. So this is a very, very far-reaching memorandum that are 14 points, which could have a significant impact. I think that from an Israeli perspective, we are concerned about the fact that it will still leave ballistic missiles available to be fired by Iran. And also, the way that it addresses the nuclear program is officially that there will be a moratorium of 15 years on Iran's ability to produce enriched uranium. Now, is 15 years enough? Well, it's enough for the current leadership, right? Because they won't be there in 15 years' time to have to bear the consequences of their decisions today. They might not even be alive in another 15 years' time, who knows? But 15 years for me seems quite short because someone's going to have to deal with this in 15 years' time. It sort of reminds me a little bit of the original deal that was brokered by Barack Obama for Iran, which kind of pushed the problem down the road, you know, kicking it down the road a little bit for somebody else to have to deal with in the future. I interestingly, there was a very fascinating interview that Barack Obama undertook with US press where he very much defended this deal that he entered into with Iran in spite of the consequences that he has been able to witness since then, of course, not have to take any responsibility for them. But the 15-year moratorium for me seems a little too little and too short. But that currently is apparently what's on the 14-point memorandum that is being discussed. There is some talk about the possibility of a meeting between Iran and the United States in Geneva or in Pakistan in the coming days or in the coming days, because the president has said he's giving 1 week for this to be signed and finalized. And then there will be apparently a 30-day more detailed negotiating period. Once the ceasefires have been agreed and the 14 points have been agreed, then there is a 30-day negotiating period envisaged in which a much more detailed plan will be put together. The Iranians are not sending out optimistic signals about their willingness to accept this. They've claimed that it's more of a wish list than anything else, and that there are many points on this memorandum which are completely unacceptable. This is the Iranian side coming out. The Pakistanis are much, much more conciliatory and optimistic, saying they think it's pretty close to getting some sort of an arrangement together. But as I say, President Trump has given it a week, which is a week in President Trump's calendar. I don't know. Sometimes these weeks seem to run into months. But he's given it a week for it to be finalized. And we understand that from an Israeli perspective, the Israeli security establishment and the Israeli administration say they are not really surprised. It doesn't really surprise them that this is going on, nor the content of the memorandum. They are concerned that it doesn't really address Israel's security issues and security concerns. We're going to have to bear the consequences of that, because I suspect that whatever comes out may well not go far enough to satisfy what Israel would like to see.
Yeah, it's probably, I don't know, we never really understand this. We just have to watch really and see. Israel has continued targeting the terrorists in Lebanon and in Gaza. What more do we know about this?
So interestingly, yesterday, Israel carried out a number of targeted killings against leadership both in Gaza and in Lebanon, and against where there were attacks for the first time in many, many weeks in the Dahiya neighborhood in Beirut against a leader of the Radwan force, which is considered to be the elite force within Hezbollah. And also there were attacks carried out, a targeted killing in Gaza that attacked one of the Nakba chiefs, one of the individuals who led a group that attacked Israel on October the 7th. In the process of that, we understand that the son of the person who has now, we understand, been recently elected as the leader of Hamas, because apparently there was an election to elect a new leader, and we understand that the new leader is Khalil Ahaya. He is reported to have been elected as the new leader of Hamas, and it was his son, Azam, who was involved in the attack that took place yesterday against the Nakba force leader in Gaza. We understand that Azam was not really the target of this attack, but he may have been killed or at least seriously injured while this attack took place. And when we see these targeted killings taking place, one in Gaza, one in Lebanon, I sort of wonder to myself whether Israel is not saying, we think that time is running out, that there may well be an agreement that the US will reach with Iran within the coming days or within the week. And that will then take away our ability to continue these operations, because it's undoubted that Lebanon will be part of whatever Iran agrees with the United States. The Iranians are not willing to take Lebanon off the agenda. So whatever is agreed, ultimately, there's little doubt that a ceasefire in Lebanon will be part of the agreement and that Israel will be forced to adhere to that. And so all of a sudden we see attacks again in Dahiya, in Beirut, a targeted killing against a Radwan force operator, commander, there may well be more of those. Unfortunately, while this is going on in Lebanon, the Hezbollah forces seem to have had significant success with their exploding drones, and a number of IDF soldiers have been injured.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about these drones, because it seems to be, is this new technology?
I think it's a relatively new development. And from what I can gather, Hezbollah seem to have taken a leaf out of the book of the Ukrainians and the way they have been operating against Russia, using relatively cheap, quite accurate and very lethal exploding drones. They fire these drones off, even if the drone is not quite as accurate and even if it doesn't undertake the job that it's done. The fact that it's so cheap means that, you know, you can literally have thousands of them and you can afford to lose some of them, you know, and you can afford to have certain operational failures along the way. But when you achieve a success, the successes can be quite significant. And we've certainly seen that in recent days and weeks in Lebanon, where the IDF have been struggling to cope with these drones, to identify them and to shoot them down before they can create any damage. A number of them have been shot down. I think the development against the drones has increased in recent weeks, but unfortunately, they are still causing deaths and injuries, and they are extremely dangerous. And it's just a relatively cheap and simple drone that has very, very high impact and high efficiency.
That is where we do need to leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you as always for another phenomenal week of reporting from Israel. Wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you Monday morning, 7:45, for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.